What are we made of? Why do I get sick? How can I live a more balanced whole life? These are just a few of the questions explored each week by naturopath, medical intuitive, and clairvoyant, Dr. Rita Louise on Just Energy Radio. Explore your possibilities every Friday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Join us at JustEnergyRadio.com.
Is the veil between this world and the next getting thinner? I'm Chris Sloan, inviting you to join in and listen to a new podcast that deals with the paranormal, Parapod, with new guests every week, from paranormal investigators to the people they help. Hear actual EVP. The people that capture.
We go into a case to disprove a haunting.
Three flashlights, actually four counting the lantern, were actually honed in on this thing, and it was swallowing the light up.
Parapod. Log on to myspace.com/Chris Sloan Radio. That's myspace.com/CHRISSLONE Radio. The only difference between the believer and the skeptic is time. And your time is now.
Yo, Cilantro, where you at, yo? This taco's getting cold.
My mind's a mess, no one's putting me to the test. Even though I'm doing my best, I have to maintain ground. I start thinking it's a thing of pitch. No way, every day from a paycheck. From a solid rock to a speck of dust. Making an honest living, aim for it honestly. Constantly fighting, chest to make do. Money kind of bullets are fitted to keep the feeble until they're on the street. Trying to make soup from a pebble.
Shadow governments, strange rituals, new world
shadow
order,
governments, strange
buried
rituals,
treasure,
Planetary
Mind Control. Shadow Government. Strange Ritual. New World Order. Very Treasure. Planetary Mind Control. Corporate Interest. Chief of Staff. Special Agent. Unidentified Flying Objects. Presidential Assassination.
Pyramid.
Pyramid.
Out there.
Visit outthereradio.net for more information.
You're listening to Ghostly Talk with Doug, Scott L., and Bonnie.
Psychotherapist, psychological researcher, systems theorist, author, and relationship counselor, Carlisle Berquist is skilled in psychosynthesis, creativity, spiritual emergence, and transpersonal issues. His therapeutic experience includes work with families in crisis, adolescents, prison inmates, creative artists, and individuals undergoing spiritual crises. Carlisle's broad educational, professional, and experiential background provides a unique perspective on the human spirit. He proposes that each of us has an innate power to create, and as creators, we scout for humanity. Through our collective consciousness, we each hold the human potential to heal ourselves and help heal society. The website is www.10billionbeats.com. That's the number one, the number zero, billionbeats.com. And we would like to welcome Carlisle Berquist to the show. Welcome.
Well, thank you. Hello to you all.
10 billion beats.
What a catchy title.
It gets
my imagination going.
So
it's so good to meet you because you get to describe this for us.
What is 10 billion beats?
Well, it's funny. You say it's a catchy title, and that really seems to have been true. I didn't think it up just trying to be catchy, but it has astounded me the way this has captured people's imagination. We can go into that more later. But to answer what it is, out in the world now, we see an awful lot of division and rancor, and you know, people are pulling apart in every imaginable way. And one of the things that seems to be bubbling through a lot of the spiritual dialogue is a lot of talk around what's going to happen in 2012. Is there a return of Planet X, or are we going to have rapture or ascension or crystal children coming? You know, there are all these different things that people are latching on to as some part of the reason of what's happening. Now, the truth is that all of us feel that something big is happening. And when that kind of pressure occurs, we tend to go one of two ways. We either get fearful and we start the survivalist mentality, or we start the sort of cover your own ass spiritually mentality. You know, I'm going to pray to the right God and make sure that I'm plugged in.
Yeah.
And what I wanted to do with 10 billion beats was, let's take the simplest common denominator, something that goes across the board, something that nobody can argue about. Drums have been something that have been part of human history from the earliest recorded civilizations and pre any recorded civilizations. I mean, they're found 20,000 years ago in Australia and the Bush people. So what I thought was, well, maybe we could, as drums bring people together, whether they're calling them to campfire or calling them to the dance floor in a rock band, they bring people together, so maybe we could try to do this drumming and see if we could get people all around the world to participate. And the idea for how to do that and why are probably going to come up in further questions, but basically we wanted to see if we couldn't just find a simple way not to argue about dogma, not to argue about political persuasions or philosophical perspectives or spiritual insights, and just say, for this time, let's bless each other and let's bless the earth and say the prayer with our drum.
Well, and this is, it's all true what you just said. I mean, the beat, the percussion, it's, I mean, coming from my background, I mean, I've played a lot of music over the years, and you've heard me say that before, Doug, but I'm just listening for the snare crack. That's all I care about back there is the snare crack, because that is the heart of the music. That's what drives music, and that's why, and we see many drum circles still, especially around, especially Ann Arbor area here in Michigan. You'll see one drum circle after another, and people, they're not writing anything, they're not, they're not trying to arrange anything or put an album together. They're just getting together and they're playing their drums, and they're finding a common ground within those beats and syncopation, and they're all having a great time. Uh-huh. You know, and that's why when I read on this idea, I'm like, yeah, you know, because I've seen this firsthand with small groups of people, but they were having a great time and they were finding their common ground with that, and that was through drums. And you don't have to have a drum. I mean, you guys see me all the time. I'm sitting there, you know, on the table doing whatever. I'm always have a beat in my head at some time. So what better idea than to take a whole planet, essentially 10 billion beats, like we're saying, and have everybody do that. I mean, and imagine the power of that, too. I mean, this is just kind of like space talk here.
Well, it transcends each of us all. I mean, or each individual person into a...
Yeah.
Even in a small drumming circle, it's magical. I mean, it takes over. It's,
yeah.
it's like a connection.
Uh-huh.
There's something that goes on in that kind of thing. If you globalize that, I just wonder how much...
Well, 10
how
billion,
much you could get done.
Yeah, it's a huge number, as we all know. 10 billion is a very large number. What is it? Well, 10 billion, is it? What's so special about 10 billion, Carlisle?
Well, number one, it's an outrageous enough number that everybody immediately pays attention to it.
I agree.
But there is more to it than that. I don't know if your listeners or if you have ever come across an author by the name of Peter Russell. He wrote a book, and it actually was a documentary sort of film about, oh, maybe 15, could even be 20 years ago, called The Global Brain.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at any rate, in that he sort of, and this is going into the systems theory part, you know, I'll change hats now and go over into systems for a minute, but he looked back at what was it that happened through the process of development on this planet where the sum became more than, or the whole became more than sum of the parts. And so he noticed that, you know, in the primordial sea, when the density of certain molecular properties or certain elements got close enough that it began to form molecules, and then when enough molecules of the right valence began to get together, that suddenly it began to form complex molecules like amino acids, and ultimately then proteins, and then single-cell life, and then multi-cell life. And the critical threshold seemed to be when things approached about 10 billion of any one given thing in close proximity. The last one in his example is the human brain, which has about 10 billion cells. Now, here on the planet, we are rapidly approaching 10 billion human beings on the planet with all the difficulties that's weighing on the world. So the 10 billion was, if this number represents some sort of critical mass, if we got people holding this singular positive intention, thinking it with each drum beat and repeating it, and we could approach critical mass, could we help infuse human consciousness with this more positive view?
Wow.
How interesting. And I've seen this kind of thing, and I haven't seen this kind of thing happen. This kind of thing is new and unique to me, and I love it. But, I mean, I've seen where you take enough people thinking along the same lines, right, actually change the world. I mean, Hurricane Katrina, when everybody was, focused on, the South, and then there was the Well of Water tsunami.
The tsunami
out
in Thailand.
In Thailand, that everybody focused on that, and it just seems to bring you together. It seems to transcend. It really, really gives people something, a common thread again.
Well, death has always been the ultimate equalizer.
Well, that's death and tragedy, yes, yeah. But there's also, positive things, I'm sure. I mean, wasn't everybody I wasn't watching because I was probably not born or I was too young when man landed on the moon, right, or when we did. And then I was probably too young when, or not even existence, when JFK was elected and everybody partied or whatever.
Yeah.
But I was here for 2000 when the Y2K bug didn't happen. That was positive.
Yeah, it was a great
and
party.
Everybody was focused on that. I mean, that was a very primary focus. So focusing on that with the beat of music, which we know music moves people,
yep.
Right? So with the beat of music, with drumming, it's just got to be so powerful. It sounds like it could overwhelm and be a spiritually uplifting event. That's all
I would
say.
Absolutely love it if that is how it turns out. the thing that has just floored me, I mean, this isn't, we're not We Are the World, we're not Live Aid, we're not coming in with a major backing of some, corporate sponsor and all kinds of publicity. This is pure and simple grassroots. We put it up on the net, tried to place it out there in places where people would find it, and then let them tell one another about it, and that's how it's happened. And now we're in, we're on every continent but Antarctica, and I've tried to speak Penguin, but I haven't been able to read it.
I agree. Well, I mean, what's really interesting is, Carlisle, I remember walking into work one day and some fellow had a sign on his desk and it said simply, "Today is National Talk Like a Pirate Day." And he was. He talked like a pirate almost all day.
And
I thought, oh, that's really, really interesting and fun, and it's got to, it's got to really be, take away the mundane. For even if it's briefly, he got to get outside of himself. Think outside of the box. Be more interesting than today is just another Tuesday, or today is just another Thursday. It got him to, really, I think it just got to be really, plus it was a lot of fun, so he got to be better or different than every other day, and it was a lot of fun. And so, of course, the next year, it was the same thing. He put the sign out, and then a lot more people were talking about, talking like a pirate. And it was just really, really funny and cute, and it really got, people felt good. They felt good. They felt better. They thought it was silly, but certainly very interesting and more fun than any other standard Thursday or whatever day it was. Mm-hmm. And this has the same potential. Carlisle, I would think. I mean, it just absolutely has to have the same potential. People talk about it and say, you know what would be fun? You're not going to be building a car. You're not going to be solving, a world hunger or making a cure for cancer or anything. But what you're going to be doing is for a few moments. I don't care if it's like 5 minutes or an hour or 10 hours, right? But for that period of time, you're going to just be participating.
Yeah.
How much cooler can that get? I think it's very exciting.
Well, it can get a lot cooler if it actually impregnates human consciousness and begins to change the world.
That's also what I'd like to hear about. The 10 billion, I know the critical mass, right, of 10 billion beats. Is there, and I've heard this over and over again in my own hobby of studying paranormally inclined topics, is that we create our own universe. And I've seen this in, you know, I've seen this. I've seen it happen. I know that in a way I affect my own little universe, right? I mean, I can't just whip out a winning lottery ticket and I can't, you know, I can't produce a car on my own just by thinking of it because I don't have that power. But what I can do is I can affect my ways of obtaining different things or creating my universe, meeting the right people and talking to them, and intertwining my life with theirs and getting rid of bad people for me. You know, I can create my universe in these small ways, right? So I understand that concept. I don't think I could go, you know, snap my fingers and have a mansion where my house is right now. I just don't have that kind of power, but I do have a lot of power to affect my life. This builds on that. This is taking that individual ability to affect the universe that an individual lives in, right? And this is taking it worldwide and saying, and I think you even called it a global intention experiment, right? I mean, this is taking that to the greatest possible level. So what kinds of results do you think this could do if you could get everybody thinking along the same lines to that same beat or, you know, slightly varying beats all at once?
Well, I want to backtrack a little on some of what you said and then sort of dive into that, because one of the things that I think is really, really huge in this concept of creating our own universe, which I absolutely agree with you on, and I've had enough paranormal encounters to have no problem believing that. But I also think that we have such difficulty perceiving what we create as coming from our own ego, our own sense of need, our own vision of the best, as opposed to what might be, if we are, as someone has said, spiritual beings having human experiences rather than human beings having spiritual experiences, what might that indwelling consciousness that has this human body and this human mind and these emotions and can carry on life on this planet, but is that indwelling operator of us, want to call it soul or spirit or higher self, whatever name you want to put on it, but what might be its capacity to create and try to plug in that way to this idea that we create the universe around us, because even the garbage we bring into our life teaches us something. So, you know, if we look at the fact as we're creating it, and yeah, we could have a mansion if we really knew how to do that, but would that really be the best thing for our life, or would it just make us live inside the mansion and be afraid that somebody's going to steal our money or whatever? You know, it's hard.
Now, the problem people have now is they spend their whole lives wanting to get crap, then they spend the rest of their lives trying to protect their crap. I mean, that's what bogs most people down, is this worry about losing their possessions, right? I mean, losing the things they've worked for. You know, hence the reason that the true Jedi loses all worry of ever losing anything. That's with a true Jedi. That's what the idea of Star Wars was that the Jedi did not care about possessions, right? That was not their thing.
Yes.
That point aside,
but life is not Star Wars.
I mean, I had to throw it in there.
Life
right?
is not Star Wars. You have to live in some kind of structure, unless you're a mountain man, I suppose. And you, I mean, even if you're a caveman, you have to live in a cave. It's, I know it's not structure, but it's some kind of protection from the elements. You have to eat. You have to have water.
Yeah, but point was is that, you know, you get bogged down with these ideas. And, like, I mean, I do agree with that, Carlisle. Even the crap that you do bring in your life, I think if you're an intelligent person, you're going to try to learn from it the best you can.
And if you look at the people that we really hold up as our highest ideals of their ability to live what they said. I mean, the people who come to mind are people like Gandhi or Mother Teresa or Muhammad or Jesus, and you know, those, and we kind of go, well, we could never do that, but then maybe we could. You know, it isn't about having to take the vow of poverty and stripping everything away. It's simply getting to the place where we think more about other people than we do about ourselves.
Yeah, and that wraps it up real nice right there. How many times well, go ahead, Carl.
So, well, with this idea of the intention, one of the things I'm sure that, you know, most of you have probably read things like The Law of Attraction and The Secret and the kind of stuff that's very popular right now, and all very good stuff. But one of the things that at least the wiser ones of those have said is that this works better when you're asking for something other than yourself. Now, there's another author, Lynn McTaggart, who's actually a medical doctor in England, and she wrote the actual book, The Intention Experiment, where she gathered people together to pray for patients and then measured to see what happened. And, you know, had remarkable results with it affecting the outcomes of their illness or surgery or whatever in a positive way. So when we are acting as intercessors for someone else and trying to evoke the power of the divine to help someone else, we are better at it than when it's, oh, I really want to win the lotto.
Well, yeah, and again, it's that's self-centered, and we all are victim to that. I know.
Oh, we're all there.
I'd love to win the lottery. What would I do with all this money, you know?
Me too.
Go ahead, Doug.
But it is. I'm familiar with McTaggart's work, and it's something that has been shown over and over. As a matter of fact, I think either Art Bell or George Norrie, I don't remember who, had run some experiments, right? They're like, what if we can take this hurricane and turn it into a wind, you know, and everybody at this and that time, whatever. And he ceased those experiments, right? Saying, I'm not going to do that anymore because I don't know what any repercussions of that could be. So somebody a lot more, you know, scientific or knowledgeable about what the repercussions of sudden earth weather changes would be is going to have to take up that. I'm not going to do that anymore. So he ceased doing that. But it was really interesting that could work and may have at some point. And I really think that there is power in that of focused thought.
And that's, you know, I understand the self-centered side of this focused thought you're talking about, but what if you are a person who wants to, look, I want to, you know, progress, I want to grow, I want to get better, I want to better myself. I don't think those are bad intentions, and again, they're self-centered, but they're not bad intentions. I mean, I, for example, I want to better myself, I want to work hard.
Do you think Mother Teresa, for example, or Gandhi said, do you know, I want to better myself, so I got to just get rid of all my stuff? No, I think that what they were trying to do was become closer to God or the universe or whatever their, you know, highest power was. They wanted to become more holy, more spiritual.
Yeah.
And part of that was to, you know, give up some, in some cases, material possessions.
Uh-huh. You mentioned the word holy.
I think holy was the wrong word.
Yeah,
I'm gonna spin it another way for you.
Oh, thank you.
Happened to be giving a presentation on my book at a book show some time back, and there was another author there who I had lots of conversations with and enjoyed, and in her presentation, her name's Victoria Moran, writes a lot of kind of self-help stuff for women. But she had this wonderful presentation where, and she was not religiously oriented, she says, man was created with a divine hole. And that hole is the reason that we go out into the world and we get into drugs or alcohol or overeating or all the different places because we're trying to fill it, not realizing that the only thing that can fill that is to allow the divine to fill it. Now, my view of Gandhi or Teresa or any of the greats in any tradition you want is that they allowed themselves to be holy, as in full of holes. So they didn't hang on to what came, they just let the divine flow through them. And that leads you to whatever your purpose is, you know?
Absolutely. Let's take a quick break here, because we've really kind of veered off into some, I think, what I think is really cool territory.
Totally off the
question. No, that's all right, though. That's okay. I mean,
but I'm learning. I'm
are
learning
you all right with that,
Carlisle? Thank you.
Is that okay with you, Carlisle? We're kind
sure.
of flying around here.
I'm known for rambling.
No rambling here. This is all very
all learning.
Very amazing. Let's take a quick break, though. Regroup a little bit. We'll be right back.
The website, 10billionbeats.com. Load that up, and then after this break, we will be back with more from Carlisle Berquist about this movement. And remember, 10 billion beats.
For more info, visit ghostlytalk.com.
Dive into the bizarre world of the paranormal. Do ghosts, UFOs, or the supernatural amaze you to the point of wanting to learn more? Well then, you need BVRN, the Black Vault Radio Network. With more than 1,200 hours of on-demand talk radio, syndicated from more than 35 shows, the Black Vault Radio Network is your one-stop shop for the world of the unexplained. Check us out and tune in 24 hours a day at www.blackvaultradio.com. Again, that's www.blackvaultradio.com.
Oh yeah, the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show is rocking its way on the supernatural scene.
It's drive time paranormal broadcasting without the driving or the timing. Just go to www.ghostanddemon.com.
Think you know what goes bump in the night? You ain't heard nothing yet.
Each week we'll be bringing you the best and the worst kept secrets in the paranormal community.
Yeah, us, the Ghostman and Demon Hunter, Sunday from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Ghostanddemon.com. The Ghostman and Demon Hunter show is beyond the normal broadcast.
The insistent pain, the bosses refusing, nerves are insane, muscles renewing, mobility wanting, divine machines tightening, constriction of blood, what would night bring? Paralyzation like birth is reversing, the mind is dissolving, the learning or nurturing, a mobile now, pain optimizing, death will not come, fight against all the rest. We'll be right back.
Or be caught bored waiting for something to go bump in the night? Listen to the Paranormal Broadcast System with Brad, Brandon, Todd, and Paul.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Listen to some great interviews with some amazing guests that run the gamut from ghost hunting groups across the country to paranormal personalities in the media. First, let's be serious for a moment. Then let's have some fun! We've got it all covered. Tune in and listen to intriguing interviews with our hosts from L.A. Spirits and the Louisiana Spectral Research Center. Then kick back and listen to us try to be funny with some people, guys, too. Ourselves. It's funnier that way. You can find us at www.laghosts.com. That's www.laghost.com.
Any comments on the break music, including our guest? Band's called Combat out of New York.
Awesome. Nice bunch of guys. Real nice bunch of guys. I've been kind of following this band quietly for a number of years, and I just took a shot and emailed them and said, hey, would you like us to play your music on the show? And he's like, I'll have a CD out to you next week. I'm like, well, no, I'll send it to you. I'll be happy. So they sent us a disc, and yeah, real nice bunch of guys. Check them out, deadfoot.com. That's their website. So really, really good band. What the heck were we? We were out. We were like skiing way out, but I think it was really cool.
Yeah, we just totally got way off topic because Carlisle is so interesting about all
this
stuff.
Yeah, well, we seem to kind of come back to certain things, you know, with us and with our guests and stuff like that. And a lot of it does come back to our attitudes as people when it comes to spiritualism and how we should treat ourselves and most of all treat each other. And we always kind of. We all, you know, us and our guests always seem to have a lot of the same opinions on this stuff. It's obvious that there's things that, you know, you should be thinking more about, you know, other people than yourself. I mean, and I think that's probably about a big chunk of what the problem is with the world today is that there's people who just want to hoard and hoard and hoard. Whether it's that space in front of you on the freeway or that space in line or, you know, ultimately as much money as possible sometimes for some people, it breaks you down. It destroys you. It beats on you. And it makes you, for a lot of people, I think, that may have come into this life or whatever their ideas were as they were growing up with good intentions, like, I'm going to be a good person. I'm going to help other people out. But when you just keep getting beat on and kicked every day, it makes you part of the problem, too, I think. And people just get their attitudes go to crap sometimes. I'm a victim of that. You're a victim of that.
And
we know Bonnie's a victim of that.
Bonnie is definitely a victim of that.
Raging bitch.
Well, that's it. I'm out of here.
His work is done. No, actually, you're just getting started.
We're trying to learn, though. We're always out there, the three of us, I know for a fact, Carlisle, that we're trying to learn. We're trying to be better. And that's why we're so interested in what we're talking about.
And you came
about.
Up with an activity that seems so simple, but so connecting. It's absolutely amazing. Do you have to be an experienced drummer or musician to who can participate?
Absolutely everybody. We have church groups that are doing this. We have peace movement people who are doing it. We have little old ladies sitting by themselves at home. We have people on the beach in Florida, on the beaches up and down California. There's groups in Wisconsin and Oregon and Washington. They're all over the place. And Remo Drums is hosting a 10 Billion Beats event in their corporate recreational music center in L.A.
Remo Drums?
Remo Drums, yeah.
It's a big company.
Yeah, they just found out about us and gave me a call and, you know, said, what's this all about? And I told them, and they said, well, I think we'd like to do that. And so there we go. And we've got a guy up in Canada who's got a wonderful, like, sort of Celtic retreat center. He's a Brit who transplanted to New Brunswick, and he put on this event early in the spring called 8,000 Drums, and I happened to hear about it after I was promoting this and said, well, I think we're going to have more than 8,000. Want to be part of it? So at any rate, he said yes, and, you know, he's doing a whole weekend. He's got African drummers and indigenous, you know, Native American drummer groups coming in, and I think they've got about 2,000 people that are going to be there at theirs, and it's just amazed me. And another Native American woman in Alaska has her name's White Eagle. She has the Whirling Rainbow Foundation and does these things all over the world, and she's got her whole group in with us. So it's just everywhere. It just amazes me. Just amazes me.
And again, I mean, I can reiterate that. I mean, drumming or creating a beat,
it's primal.
When I told you that,
it affects everybody.
Remember the story I told you when the band The Load Levelers, you know,
yeah.
Kurt, Holy Terror, they stayed at my. This is when I had my apartment years and years ago. They ended up staying at my house, and they ended up grabbing their acoustic guitars, right, Carl? These guys, this band, right? And normally they plug in. They're a loud rock and roll band, right? But they wanted. It was like 2 a.m. at my apartment, and these guys grab their acoustic guitars and they start, you know, like, oh, we're going to play a little bit. Okay, great. And their drummer, Noah, was like, well, you know, I can't set my drum set up here. So he just grabbed a guitar case and grabbed a couple of his sticks and just started beating on the guitar case, right? And he created a beat. He drove the music. It's that easy when it comes to this stuff. That's why this idea of, again, Doug, to reiterate your question, is that anybody can do this thing. And we all have this drive in us, I think, as people. Like I said, me, I'm always, whenever I'm sitting, if I'm at work, whatever it may be, I always have a beat in my head, something that, and that's what kind of keeps me moving. So this whole idea, again, is just fantastic to me, and it's obvious for all the people that are kind of signing on, it sounds like, Carlisle.
Yeah, there's one thing about this that kind of pushes a little past the beat the way you're just thinking about it. It's like we're asking people to try to beat 4 beats per second. Now, there's a reason for this, is that one of the areas that my research is in is on sound and states of consciousness and how to take people into different places with it. So in that, I did a lot of biofeedback research and looking at EEGs and all those things. And one of the things about the way we are is, you know, everybody you hear, oh, I'm in alpha, I'm in beta, I'm in theta, I'm in all these different brain range. Well, the theta range goes from about 4 beats per second to around 7, 7.5. You know, it's basically 1 octave wide, and then you go up into alpha, and it's about 1 octave wide, and then you go on up into gamma and so on and so forth. Well, when you're in theta, normally you get there when you're on your way to sleep, and that's when you have these sort of, you know, aha moments, like all of a sudden you have dreamlike images pop in your head. It's like, whoa, what was that? Where'd that come from?
Yeah.
Or you have some kind of thought about something that's really out of the ordinary, because our normal kind of high-speed thought process is just kind of relaxing, and it allows these deeper things to come up. So I initially started using drumming as a way to help people get to that place so that they could kind of prime the creative pump, get those ideas that normally weren't coming loose and let them float up. So I did workshops around California using drumming as a way to help people become more creative. Then I got a little more serious about it, and when I was doing doctoral research, I started working hard with the biofeedback part of it and really was thinking that I would use sound and coordinate it with the actual frequencies coming out of the brain and then transpose it up into auditory range and then feed that back to people. Well, I spent, as we were talking on break, I spent most of my adult life in the studio business in L.A., and I had a lot of friends who were, you know, still in it, and so I was in San Francisco then, and some who were there, or some who were still down in L.A. were working on a film over at Skywalker Ranch, all you Stardubs, or Star
Star Wars
folks. So I'd go over when they'd come up and go stay in one of the guest houses over on Skywalker Ranch and play with Knobs and mostly just party a lot with them. But while we were there, they said, well, look, we've got all this studio time available. People are doing these meditation CDs and that, and we've got a lot of time available. If you want, come in, do one. You could do it a lot better. So I thought about it for a while, and I was going, well, I don't know. This thing I'm doing is, you know, I'm in the middle of trying to figure out how I'm going to gate the EEG and transpose it and check for harmonics across the spectrum of the brain and feed it all back to people. And then I went, well, wait a minute. I got all the numbers worked out. Why don't I start with sound instead of with the brain and see if we can get the brain to follow it? So that's where this thing, Vantage Quest, that you probably saw in the bio there came from.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about that.
That's what that is, actually, is my doctoral dissertation gone mad. And people wanted to buy it, and so, you know, it ended up as a CD, and I'm going to try and get 11 more of them out so I can cover the whole range of the Theta, but I've got all this Pro Tools equipment here in the house and just driving me nuts trying to get it to work right, but I'll get there.
Well, okay, and...
So, let me just quickly finish.
Okay.
So,
oh, I'm sorry,
the reason that we're targeting the 4 beats per second is because when people drum at that speed, then they drop into that sort of wide-open, knowing calmness. You know, it's a very fast beat, and, you know, the standard process when I do this with people in workshops is, you know, the first 5 minutes they go, well, this is the stupidest thing I've ever done. I don't know why I'm doing this. And then for the next 5 minutes, their arm starts to get progressively more and more tired, and about 10 minutes, you're really in pain. And then finally, about 15 minutes, everybody clicks in. You know, it's like the whole group just lifts off. It's like watching a saucer lift from the ground. It's just amazing that the smiles come on people's faces, the pain in their arm goes away, and then you're just on power drive for however long the drumming goes. And the reason is because everybody reaches that, you know, higher altered state of consciousness where suddenly things begin to really work on a different level. And so we're trying to get to that kind of place while we hold this intention. And I know that after people get there for a while, you know, then people will break out into other rhythms and all those things. And that's fine. Everybody should have fun with it, too.
Yeah.
But we want to achieve that liftoff for everybody.
Well, yeah, it's something basic to start with. And then once everybody kind of gets into the zone, that's when you can go off into other types of beats and things like that.
But I think that does. I participated in a drumming circle when I was in college, and I think that's pretty much how it went. I wonder if there's a natural leaning toward doing that, where you're doing, you know, they'll start out kind of slow, but then they'll build up to like about maybe 4 beats per second, and then I don't remember offhand how the beat went, but it built up to something like that, and then that sort of drew everybody out of the house and around to the bonfire, and then all of a sudden people were just like started participating and started getting into it, and then of course after a certain amount of time it just went all, you know, haywire and into chaos, but a lot of fun.
Organized
chaos,
though.
But it started out with that kind of thing where it started out kind of slow, but then they built up to about 4 beats per second-ish, I believe, and then that drew everybody like magnet, you know, to the to the bonfire, and then poof, everybody had you know, a drum, and they were just going at it, and then after a period of time, people were just like, it was a magical experience, because then you were out of yourself and just going to town after a while.
And shamans for, you know, millennia have been using that drum beat. That is where they go when the shaman goes on his trip for healing or vision or whatever the particular mission is. that they do that particular kind of drumming, and then they fall into a, you know, complete trance and go off in service of the community with whatever mission they're supposed to be accomplishing. But it's ancient. It is an ancient rhythm that is hardwired in us, and when you do that for any given time, and if you guys participate in this, pay attention and see if you get this, because this is the most amazing thing, and I've seen it so many times or heard it so many times. It's when you lift off and everything starts going that way and it just gets on auto drive, you will start to hear drums that aren't there. And you'll hear chanting and choirs and other sounds will gather around that aren't physically there. Now, in the shamanic tradition, they say that when you do that, you are plugging into the wave that has been created. If you were speaking in Hindu, maybe you'd call it the Akashic Record or the Akash. But you're plugging into this common link to all the drums that have ever been played, and that when that happens, that the spirits gather around and you know, ancient shamans come and chant along. And I've had people drumming out in our vineyard where we're gonna do 10 billion beats. But one time we were there, and there was maybe 50 people or so, and we were drumming, and all of a sudden it was like thousands of drums were across the pond up on the dam, and it was like so stark and sharp that everybody stopped. We just stopped. It was like, what is that? And then it stopped. But we all ran over there wondering, you know, is there some weirdos over there beating on, you know, hubcaps or something, trying to scare us, what's going on? But there was no one there. There was nothing there. And later in that evening, and I'll just pass this along, I didn't happen to see it, but one of the people who was there, who is by many people's accounts a gifted psychic, I don't have experience with her in that way, so I don't know, but she came up afterwards and she said, did you know that there were like 8 different tribes that came up and presented themselves to us during that period because they heard the drum and they were attracted to your drum, and so they all came in to pay their salute to what we were doing? And chills went up and down my spine. I just went, well, that's very cool.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I've found the same effects, not with just drumming. I mean, I've experienced
the same
sound
thing with music.
With any kind of, when you combine sounds and when you have many different sounds running at the same time together, and I've talked to people, musicians, about this too, where I've heard a piece of work they've done, and you know, I'll hear something weird under the whole the machine that they created of all this, you know, all these different instruments working together. And I've had the opportunity to, you know, experience, you know, talk to some of these people, and I say, you know, I heard this weird sound. What'd you guys do there? They're like, you know what? We have no idea, man. We were just playing the guitar, and it just, you know, with what we were doing, it just made this weird sound under all this stuff. And the same thing, I've heard the same thing with drum stuff, where you start to hear all these sounds reverberating back and forth, and you say, yeah, it could sound like thousands of drums.
I wonder, though, Carlisle, is it electrochemical? Is it acoustical in nature? What causes the, you know, the beat, the either drum beats or the music in the case of, you know, absolutely wonderful music, what causes people to be taken out of themselves when they really experience that event, like the beat or the music or whatever? Is it electrochemical? Is it spiritual? Why can people be taken out of themselves simply listening to music or participating in a beat?
Well, I think it goes back to this idea of what the brain does. You know, the brain follows the beat. You know, if you're beating, well, the brain has this tendency to follow rhythm. You know, so if you are in if you were sitting in front of a strobe light, your brain activity would synchronize to the strobe light. It's one of the reasons television is so addictive, because there's a strobing effect as the lines go across the screen, and so we just sort of zone into it. And it also does the same thing with auditory signals. Now, with VantageQuest, you create what they call a psychoacoustic immersion field, which means that you are completely in the sound without other distractions to draw you away from the beat, so you're wearing a pair of headphones. However, when you're in a drum circle and everybody syncs up together, that's also a psychoacoustic immersion field, where the beat is so strong and so everyone's, you know, electrical activity tends to drop into this place. Now, that undoubtedly comes with a certain amount of, you know, chemical release from the hypothalamus and the way that you feel, and that opens you up to all these other things. But that doesn't necessarily mean that there isn't something over there. That the fact that you may have been, you know, what was it, chemically altered or psychoacoustic or we use the term.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we may have been altered, but that may just have been the removal of the veil, so that we were able then to perceive what was around us all the time, but that our normal, tight-cased, you know, physical body, active brain, think kind of mindset precludes us from being aware of. You know, there are people all over the planet who walk around regularly and see abnormal things, as your show is named for.
Yeah, exactly.
We're out of time.
We're out of time again.
You know, I regret that, because I was really,
we did learn a lot of really cool stuff.
Yeah,
this isn't a lost cause.
10 billion beats. Wow, Carlisle. that's a goal. A wonderful idea.
It's a website.
And so I want everyone to go to 10billionbeats.com. That's the number one, the number zero, billionbeats.com. Of course, it's linked up at ghostlytalk.com. And Carlisle, good luck. You'll keep us apprised, right, of what...
Well, it happens next weekend, so there's not much time.
Well, that's true.
Well, we're all... Everybody out there, check out the website, and...
There's still time to register. It doesn't cost you anything. Yeah. We only want you to register.
We
can
get
so
everybody
to
the
Mothman.
I'm sorry.
What?
I mean,
yeah, we're going to the Mothman Festival.
We're going to the Mothman Festival.
We can
get a festival of people to do it for you, Carlisle.
Oh, well, don't get them to do it for me. Get them to do it for themselves. Well,
exactly.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. You said that people can register on the website?
They can register on the website. We're just trying to see who's where. You know, we're not collecting names and going to sell them all kinds of spam and all kinds of things like that. They just register. There's no charge. We're not making any money on it, which is probably not a thought and I should have had. But here we are at this point. It's our gift to the world, and we'd like everyone who feels, you know, inclined to join us.
10billionbeats.com. And that'll be linked up at Ghostly Talk. Thank you so much, Carlisle.
Don't leave us just yet. Hang on the line. We're just going to close the show out. Hang tight.
I want to thank everybody, the entire Monster Talk crew. That
yeah,
was amazing.
Yeah, great talking to those guys.
Bonnie for putting up with us
no
for 3 hours.
No show next week, right?
No show.
Good question. What happened?
She was keeping the chat room in line.
When inclined, Bonnie comes in and cuts heads, you know, beats on heads when she has to. But I think she was very comfortable. She's very comfortable with everything. So, Bonnie, why don't you ask him a question real quick?
I'm okay, Claude.
Okay, all right.
Well, we tried, Carl.
All right.
Hang on, yes.
No show next week, because we will be at the
8th annual
Mothman.
Point Pleasant, West Virginia. So that means no show for you guys. Deal with it. We don't care.
Yes, we do.
No, we care. We'll have all kinds of good...
And we'll also be attempting to participate in 10 Billion Beats.
We'll be bringing back a bunch of good stuff from the Mothman Festival for you guys to check out, too.
Exactly.
West Virginia, it'll be Saturday night on the 19th, because it starts here in Kansas on the 18th, follows the time zones westward around the globe. So the East Coast is actually finishing it up for us on the 19th. So
awesome.
All right.
That'll be perfect. 7 o'clock Saturday.
We're bringing up the rear.
Bringing up the rear.
Bringing up the rear. There we go. All right.
Thank you so much.
Carl,
thank you, thank you, everybody, for listening to Ghostly Talk. No show next week. We'll be on the following week with Grand Tales of the Mothman Festival. And we would like everybody to come out to the Mothman Festival, if possible, in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. Until 2 weeks from now, this has been Ghostly Talk, and I've been Doug.
I've been Scott L.
I'm still Bonnie.
Thanks, everyone.